This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries right here in Stuart, Florida, welcoming you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we're on from 12 noon to 1 o'clock every Saturday. So we're glad to be here with you, and we hope you have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to tell you today. And so we release ourselves to what God wants us to say through this. And I hope you can do the same thing and ask Him to just open your heart to receive whatever He has for you here today. Amen. And here we are. We're coming up with an amazing event, don't we, Pastor Don? It's going to be coming up starting next week, or a little over a week from now. And it's 17th Annual Bible Reading Marathon, right, Pastor Donna? And we're really ramming up to get it going, and so we got a lot of work to do yet, but we're getting there. And so we encourage you, if you'd like to be a part of that. We do this every year. This is the 17th year that we've done this. And we read the entire Bible, the King James Bible version, from beginning to end, every single word. We do it every single year. And so here this year is the 17th time we're doing this, and it shows us how important the Word of God is. And so we've been encouraging people to sign up, and you can call. I'm going to give you a number here in a moment. You can call this number when we get done talking about this, and you can sign up. And God's asking all of us, can you give God 15 minutes of your time? Maybe you can. Maybe you can give Him more. Maybe give Him 30 minutes, whatever. But we need readers to fill up our chart. It takes a lot of readers to go through the entire Bible. And so it's a 90-minute marathon. It's called a marathon.
90 hours.
Or 90 hours. I said it's 90 minutes, didn't I? 90 hours. So it's a marathon. So what? You read your time, and you pass the baton to the next person. They take up right where you left off reading, and we just keep going. We keep going, and we don't stop. We don't stop at all until we're done.
Maybe I should explain exactly how it works.
Okay. You can do that.
We have 365 slots of 15 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
And what people do is they call and they take a 15-minute slot. So not guaranteed what you will read, because some people read fast and some people read slow. Unless you read the very first 15 minutes, then you know exactly what you're reading.
Yeah.
But we read the Bible's divided up into 15 minutes all the way from the beginning, Genesis 1:1, all the way through the whole book of Revelation. And so it takes many, many people, hundreds of people, to read each and every 15-minute slot. Now, some people come and read more than once, and that's a blessing, because we need that. And so we read through the night, and it's like you said, it's nonstop.
It's a marathon.
It's a reading marathon. So one person reads, and the next person comes up to the pulpit, and they start reading their 15 minutes, and so forth and so on until we continue reading until we read the entire Bible. And like you said, it takes 90 hours, which is almost 5 days of night and day reading, round the clock. So it's a lot. It's a labor of love. And we are in downtown Stuart. We're reading outside on the government property, public property, and we will be reading over. People will be reading with a microphone.
It's a band
and
show.
We have a Bible, a large print Bible. It's on the pulpit. Everyone reads out of the same Bible. And so there's no confusion there. They just come up and they just start. Some people come just to listen, so you can come and listen. some people come and pray. You know, people may get there, maybe people get saved during that time. That's always a possibility when the Word of God is going out. Amen. And we are, and the band shell is right on Ocean Boulevard in Memorial Park. It's going to start on Veterans Day, November the 11th. And that's on a Saturday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We will start reading. You can see there's a big sign over the band shell. You can't miss it. It says Bible Marathon. And so people come and they listen, or they come and they read. People come and go. And so it's a wonderful time. We're reading actually towards Jerusalem. We're facing Jerusalem. And the word is going out. And the word of God does not return void, does it?
Nope.
No. And then I believe it's going to return from whence it came. So we're speaking it from Martin County. And the Lord spoke that this would be protection for us against terrorism. So we've been doing this since 2001.
Yeah, well.
And so it has been a labor of love. And because we love the Word of God, and because the people who come to read love the Word of God as well. So it's a lot of work, and we need a lot of help, and we need a lot of prayer. Because this is something the enemy does not like at all, when God's Word goes out.
That's right.
Now the one verse that we have, there's several verses that we have that we've spoken for this year, but one of them comes out of Psalm 138, and verse 2, and I'm just going to read Psalm 138, the whole of 138, and then verse 2, I will mention 2 when I read that. And it says, I will praise thee with my whole heart.
Hallelujah.
Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy holy temple. This is verse 2. This is the verse it's on that we declare. I will worship towards thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And we know the word of God is Jesus, isn't he? He is
sure,
the word.
Yes.
Verse 3
word.
Says, in the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. We all need that. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, and we do, don't we, here in America?
Yeah,
at
sure
times
do.
Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. So this is magnifies the Lord, and his word is going out. And his word, he says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So if you're listening and you'd like to, please pray. Please pray. And if you can, call and help us read the word of God. Amen. Or come and help us oversee. We need people. We need churches. The phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007. Can you give God 15 minutes?
Sure.
That would be a question I would ask. You know, and please pray for Pastor Gene and myself and those that are working at this, because you know the enemy he attacks, and so we just cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus.
Yeshua, yes,
and we
Lord.
Thank you for protection, a hedge of protection around us. Amen. That God would fence us in with a hedge of protection on all sides. Amen.
Yes.
So his word is going forth again, like you said, Pastor Gene, from Martin County. And we're facing Israel as we read God's word. And you know, you think about the people that prayed in the Bible, they always faced Jerusalem. Daniel did, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, even when he was in captivity.
In captivity, even through an open window, he was bold and he prayed. And he
was threatened too, wasn't he?
He didn't hide himself. And you know, we're not hiding ourselves. We're out there in the public.
That's right.
We're out there on the street. We're at that band shell.
We're on the battleground, yeah.
It's a battleground, right? We're there on that ground. And we're declaring God's word again in this county.
That's right.
And that it would be a that would go forth from this county again. And I just thank the Lord for all the faithful people who have come out, and some people have come and read every single
year.
Every single year for the last 16 years.
Yeah.
So here we go again. So we need lots of prayer, and we need help. But you know, more than anything, we need prayer. Pray that people will come.
Amen.
If you can't come, pray that the Lord will send somebody, you know, because God has people out there He can send. And pray for protection, and pray against that the enemy would not come and attack. You know, pray against witchcraft, you know, because there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things going on in our nation today. And, you know, they want to take down crosses everywhere, don't they?
Sure do.
Well, they certainly would not want to have people be reading the Bible out loud from a public place like this. And we have the cross out there, and we also have the Ten Commandments. So we certainly aren't hiding who we represent. We represent Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the Messiah. We represent Him, and we're speaking God's holy word. God's word is holy, and that's holy ground. And God's sending people to read His word. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, you know, it's not just Pastor Gene or some pastor reading the Bible or some tape, or it's God's people reading.
That's
right. It's all different voices that are reading the word and declaring the word. Because, you know, when we're not just reading, we're making declarations, and we're reading God's promises.
Amen.
You know, we also read God's, some people would like to take out some of the things we read. We also read the curses, because there are curses in the Bible, and people suffered because of disobedience
or lack of knowledge.
And the Ten Commandments are still in the Bible.
Right.
Now, you know, Jesus didn't take the Ten Commandments out of the Bible, did He? No.
Nope.
He came to fulfill God's Word.
Amen.
Because He is the Word. And God's Word doesn't change.
It doesn't return void.
It doesn't return void. God is the same. What He said He will do, He will do. And, you know, God is loving and compassionate. We just read about His loving kindness and how it endures forever. But yet He is still a judge, and He is the judge. And He's going to take care of things.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna finish what he says He will do. So we need to read all of the Word of God, and we need to put that in our heart. Amen.
That's right. And the other beautiful thing we have a proclamation from the city commissioners. And they all agreed with it and signed it. And we also have one from the county commissioners. So we're honored to know that they're a part of it. So they're willing to sign it and read it publicly every year. And so we've got that all in place. And so God's on our side. And that's why I think this city's going to get blessed more and more, because people are willing to be a part of it, participate in what God's wanting to do with this city. And a lot of things will be changed as we look to what God has to say in His Word. Because He gives us an answer for everything if we just ask Him and we look. Ask and you shall receive, amen? So that's another beautiful thing we have about it too. So anyway, we're going to start on this next, a week from today, on November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and they'll have the parade and all, and then at 2 o'clock, as Donna said, we're going to start reading, and we won't stop until we're done. And so we're going to run right around the clock, so be a part of it.
We'll finish Wednesday morning.
Sometime Wednesday morning.
But we need lots of readers. We have quite a few readers for Saturday, and some for Sunday, but we need a lot of readers for Monday and Tuesday.
That's right.
And of course, we need a lot of readers during the night hours, like say from midnight to 6 in the morning. Those are the hard times to fill.
That's right.
But you know, there's always somebody shows up and says, "I'm here," and some people will come and read for an hour, you know, because they know that we need the help. And there are those night owls that come out. And
Hallelujah.
So thank the Lord for those night people that will come out, and they'll know. And, you know, people are here. People hear the word all over that area. People live in that area, and they can hear the word because it's going out over PA system.
That's right. And, out loud.
Yes. And, you know, that's a blessing to be able to speak God's word, because, you know, like I said, the enemy. And you know, if we just think about these monuments and these crosses that are being taken down. It's happening because of one person, two people. You know, it's not because of the majority. If the majority had their choice, they would not be coming
That's right.
down. And now they're wanting to take, I heard on the news yesterday, wanting to take one down that's been up for over 100 years. And so, you know, the enemy wants to take anything down that would lift up the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's why they do it. That's what they're after, right? So I'm going to give you that phone number again if you want to call and sign up. It's area code 772, and the number is 285-7007. Call 285-7007. Call and sign up. We're looking forward to meeting some people we haven't met before. Come and read. Amen. All right.
And pray for us. Pray for Jean. Pray for me, Donna, and pray for those that are working. That are doing this work for the Lord.
Labor of love, yes.
Labor of love.
Amen. So we're with you, Lord. Rain, snow, sleet, hail, we're here.
So how important is the Word of God,
that's
Pastor
right.
Gene?
How important is it? That's right. I'm going to share a few things out of the Scripture being here talking about the Bible.
A lot of people don't read the Word of God. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know the promises of God.
That's right. So if you don't know them, how can you apply them to your life? Or you'll make a lot of mistakes that you, if you would have known the Word of God, a lot of mistakes that you would have made, you may not have made if you had the Word of God in your heart to know which way to go.
And they don't know that Jesus is coming for those who are looking for Him. Because
that's right.
A lot of people are so busy, they're not looking for the Lord to return. They're not looking to be caught away. You know, there's so many Christians that are in the world, more in the world than they are in the Word.
That's right.
Both of them start with a W, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
They're more in the world than they are in the Word. And that can easily happen because people they get busy about their lives, their work, their children,
yeah.
You know, all the things that they're doing. And so what happens? The Word kind of slips by the wayside. And the Word should be first.
That's right.
If we would put God first.
In everything.
What's the Bible say? Put Him first, right?
That's right.
And then all these other things will be added unto us.
That's right. So that's
seek
what's
first
important.
the kingdom of God
and His
in
righteousness.
Matthew chapter 6. Yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto us. So the first thing we need to seek is His kingdom.
Yeah, the Lord told us a good while ago that He says, if you get busy about my business, I'll take care of your business. But it's in reverse today. People are worrying about their business, and then God can't be in the middle of it because they're not honoring God. So if we do His work, then we'll be blessed. That Scripture just says that. And all the other things will be added unto you. You won't have to ask. You'll know that you're with God, and His purpose is to bless you and to raise you up to a new place, to mature you, that you'll be able to make the right decisions in your daily life as well as in your family members and all that. And so God wants to see that accomplished. And He's going to always use people. He's always used people. He's going to continue to use people.
So we have to make time for Him.
That's right.
We need to make time for Him.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor.
So come down and read for 15 minutes or 30 minutes. Amen. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how important the Word of God is. And the key thing, some people ask us, why do you have us reading the King James Version Bible? Well, we believe that's the Bible that God wants us to have. And see, we're the one from 1611. And so everybody reads out the same book. We don't have... You know, people can come up there with 20 different variations, and
there's no confusion.
It brings confusion. We don't have no confusion, okay?
The other reason, I think a very important reason, if you have no other reason to read out of the King James Bible, is the King James Bible is not copyright.
That's right.
Every other Bible is copyright because they change words, they change
and they remove
of things.
Remove
they
an ad.
They may remove a verse. But the King James Bible isn't. You can take it down to a printer, and you can print the whole Bible if you want to spend that money to do that. You can print the whole Bible. It's not copyright. So the Bible that we use, we don't have a Bible. I don't have a Bible with a lot of notes in it, because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost will teach us.
That's
and
right.
Show us.
Hallelujah.
So the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God, will always line up with God's Word. And another thing that's important about the King James Bible is if there's a word that you don't understand, you don't know the meaning of, if you go back and you look, I have this little computer thing for a Bible. If you go back and find the very first time it's mentioned
in the Bible,
in the
King James Bible.
The King James Bible always gives the
definition of the word
within one or two verses. It
that's
always
right.
gives the definition. So you have a built-in dictionary. You don't need another dictionary. I mean, even if you want to get Webster's
1828
dictionary, mm-hmm. that's good because there's a lot of scriptures in it. But actually, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. which is the Holy Ghost, and you need the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And when you go back to the very first mention of it, you will always get the definition. So then you can look through the Bible, and as you get that definition, you'll know what it means. You'll have your built-in That's right. dictionary. So, but the main thing is, I would say, is it will be in one accord, one Bible. You know, it's a large print. You don't have to worry about the size that you're reading, and it's no copyright. That means it's for all people. It's for all people. Every single other Bible that you would go out there and buy has a copyright. And then, you know what that means? That means money.
Yeah.
And so, you know, God comes against that, doesn't he?
That's right.
So what we're looking for is the purest form of the word we can find.
Right.
And so we believe that this is the mandate God gave us. And we haven't had a lot of problems with it. Most of the people, and especially in the last maybe 10 years, because we've been doing this for, this will be the 17th years, some people have come up and they want to read out of, say, an NIV or New King James or something else. But they have been willing, and they know, I mean, if they want to follow along with their other Bible, that's fine. But when they come up to read their 15 minutes, we will read every page that's in that Bible that's on that podium. And so that keeps us all, and that's a mandate that God gave Pastor Gene and myself. That's a mandate, and so people follow that, and that's what we do when we're there, because, you know, God's given you that response. We have to answer to God if we're going to be wishy-washy about the Word of God. And we can't be wishy-washy about the Word of God. If he says to do something a certain way, we can't follow man, and we can't follow some other people or some other pastors. We just do the simple. We want to keep it simple. The simple truth of the Word of God. And you know, the King James Bible is written on a fifth grade
level.
Of course, there are some words in there that are...
we're not accustomed to, right?
People aren't accustomed to. But once they learn what they mean, it certainly brings more clarity to the Word. And I'll just give one word. The word ye. Y-E. Y-E.
Yes, it doesn't mean you, does it?
Y-E.
It's
and
singular.
When you see Y-E in the Bible, it's talking to...
the plural.
Everyone.
You all.
But when they go and they change it to the word you in every place where ye is, that because some places it is talking to a single person, and in the King James it will say you.
Or thou.
Right. Which means the single person, the one person. But when you see the word ye, it's like saying you all. It's Southern.
That's right.
It means everyone. So you don't have to figure out, who's God talking to? Is he talking to just one person, or is he talking to everyone? And so that's one word right there, which brings a lot of clarity throughout the Bible. When you see the word ye, you know that God is speaking to everyone, not just to one person. But there are many times in the Bible where he is speaking just to one person, so it brings clarity.
That's right.
So that we can understand.
That's
so
right.
You, whenever you see ye, you got to take it for yourself. Yeah, he's talking to me. He's talking to me, ye. Even though it may have been somebody a long time ago, he's talking to me. And so that word ye is very important.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, while you're talking, I went over to John chapter 3, and what Jesus had to say here, and the King James is so incredible. The translators, it's verse 7. He says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Well, these other Bibles just say, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." He's got a truth behind this for everyone. This is what it means. "Marvel not that I said unto thee." Now, he's talking to Nicodemus, and then he says, "Ye," it means you all, "must be born again." Must be born again to be in the kingdom of God. So have ears to hear what the Lord's going to say. So we're going to use this Bible. We always have. And I was in another translation for quite a few years, and the Lord really convicted me, and I got out of it and went back to the King James where we first got saved, the church that we were involved with, powerful church. That's all they used was the King James. We couldn't teach anything. It wasn't in the King James. And so I asked God a long time ago to forgive me that I got into another translation, because all of them are different. And Donna mentioned this thing about copyright. This is so important. Now, if you've got a King James Bible and it has a bunch of footnotes at the bottom and all that, you can't copy that entirely. But the text itself, you can do whatever you want with it, because it's not copyrighted. But the notes and stuff, we have to stay away from. I got a pure Bible in my briefcase.
You can't even copy the words in there because the scriptures are changed, Pastor Gene.
Well, I mean, if you got to look and make sure it's truly this King James Bible.
Yes, okay. King James Bible, you can, yeah, but other right. Bibles, no.
Like, I got one Bible in my briefcase I carry around. It's a Cambridge Bible, and it has absolutely no footnotes, nothing. And so it's the pure text, and so I can Xerox it, I can do whatever I want with it.
But it's King James.
But it's King James, 100%.
Major.
Let's talk about this a little bit. You know, the Word of God is so important, and we got to remember that we don't want to slight God by not reading His Holy Word. And so I want to go over to start with here. I want to go over to 2 Timothy with you. Chapter 3. And we've all read this if you're a born-again believer. I hope you have anyhow. And this is very significant that we understand that. And of course, Timothy here was, was a student of the Apostle Paul and all, and taught him a lot of things. And this is what Paul told Timothy here in 3 verse 15. Listen to this. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Everything points to Christ. But these next two verses are very important when we talk about the Bible. It says all scripture, it means everything that we have. The first covenant, I don't like to call it the old, it's the first covenant. And also, see, when Paul wrote this, a lot of things had not been put in place with the New Testament because Paul wrote two-thirds of the New Testament and it was being done while he was alive. But he says all scripture, I believe with all my heart, he meant all the first covenant, everything in there, and also everything that God had shown him that we have in our hands today called the New Testament or the Renewed Testament. So it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It comes from the Holy Spirit. He's the one that had it happen all down through the scriptures to have them to be inspired to write down what God had them to say. And that's how it came. It's given by inspiration. By what? By the Spirit of God. And is profitable. Now, profitable means you're going to gain something out of here. Like, if you're working a job, it's profitable you to have a paycheck every week. So it's profitable for what? For doctrine. See, doctrine is a lot more than just teaching. There's doctrines in the Bible that we have to stand on. We can't deviate from them in any way, shape, or form. That's why we're going to read every single word in this Bible at the Bible Marathon. So doctrine is very, very important. And people's kind of twisted it around a little bit. But doctrine, there's certain doctrines. I think about speaking in tongues, by the way, that some people don't believe in it. It's a doctrine that's in the Bible. It has never been taken away. It's a doctrine. It's a standard that God wants us to know, that He wants every believer to be able to speak in their own heavenly language. So doctrine is important. Then it says for a reproof, to kind of correct us in certain areas. We might have a thought, He wants to reprove that, take us to another understanding of what we're reading. Then the next one says what? For what? For correction. The Holy Ghost will correct us in the things that we need to have corrected in our lives. And then for instruction, to what? Instructions in righteousness. That verse we just said, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. And then verse 17 is key, that the man of God may be perfect, hear this, truly, King James has the word truly, furnished into all good works. And I looked it up this morning before I came on the radio. All the other Bibles say through, thoroughly finished. This says truly first. It's got a little different connotation if we look at it. This word can mean completely, it can mean fully, it can mean wholly, wholly, or it can be without reserve or anything. And we know it's the truth. And the last one I like was the word sincerely. So that I would like to think it like this, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, sincerely furnished into all good works. So it covers everything. And so it's important. So God's telling us right here that the Word of God is what's going to bring a true doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, how to walk a holy life with God, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That's awesome, isn't it, Pastor Don? So we've been teaching the Torah. A young lady in our church is teaching the Torah Friday night. The things we have over there are there to teach us, to bring reproof and correction to us about things. They're still active today. The ceremonial things are not there. But all the spiritual truth behind it is still there, so we need to look at that, amen? And we do. So that's a key verse. Now here's the key thing that got me thinking about this today, because we're talking about the Bible. I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 with you now, and then I'm going to wind up in Psalm 119, I believe. Go over to Deuteronomy.
Even the scripture that I mentioned in Matthew 6:33, it says, seek ye.
Ye means first. You all, that's right. Seek ye, you
everyone.
All.
Everyone, all of you.
That's right. Now, chapter 4 in Deuteronomy, I want to read two verses here with you. Moses wrote all this down from God. Now, therefore, brethren, O Israel, Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. So he required them to obey. Now here's the key verse. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye, here's the word ye, that you all may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Isn't that incredible to think about that?
Now that's in the first covenant.
That's in the first covenant.
Now, isn't it also in the...
I'm going to go there next.
Okay.
So this is very key to look at this. So he says you're not to diminish anything and you're not to add anything to that, okay? Well, we see these Bible publishers, they'll just change and do whatever they want with it today. We see that with all these translations. And so we got to be very careful what we're reading. So now the last place is mentioned the Bible.
They're trying to bring the world into the Bible.
That's what they're trying.
To change the Bible so it fits the world.
It's palatable to everybody. Yeah.
So it'll fit everyone and no one will have any... in other words, they want to appease everyone, please everyone, and we can't. God's not going to please everyone.
No,
He wants us to conform to His image, not for His word to conform to what we like and what we want.
That's right.
That's right. Because we're to be conformed to
His words and His image.
His word. His image is His word.
That's right.
It is His word. It's who He is, how He would act, how He would react. His attitudes, his character. We need to be in His image. And that doesn't mean to look like Him, but we need to think and act like Him and to do what He would do. Jesus only said and did what the Father told
Him. That's right. It tells us in 1 Peter we can have the DNA of God. What is it? The divine nature and attributes of God. Now I'm going to take you to Revelation chapter 22. The Bible ends with this, okay? And I'm going to start in verse 17 of chapter 22. It says this, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. We say that right now, don't we? Mm-hmm. Let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The Spirit of God, and the
Amen.
Baptism of the Holy Ghost and all. Verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man, now listen to this real carefully, if any man shall add, we just read that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Whoa! Huh?
Not good.
Not good. Now here's verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now these other translations have this verse completely translated a different way. If you got an old translation or something else, you look it up. But this is the truth right here. So God's showing us, right? We can't add to and we can't take away. So these Bible publishers are doing a lot of that. Words are being taken out and all. And I've mentioned this on the radio before. I'll mention it again. They knew the NIV, what so many pastors are in. And I believe now there's even more words missing. There's 64, the original NIV had 64,098 less words than my King James Bible in front of me. And don't tell me, well, God's just repeating things in a different way. Nope. The words are been removed. And so we got to be very careful. We don't want to miss out anything. We want everything that God has to say. So that's all I'm going to talk about that. So we're going to be reading now this wonderful Bible that God put in place. And remember, King James, he wasn't the one that translated the Bible. He picked those 54 men that's going to translate the Bible. And they did a marvelous job at all of it. And it's been a standard for years and years and years, and it's going to continue to be a standard. I believe this is God's Bible he wants us to have. Now I want to do this, and we'll close out. I'm going to read some things. I'm going to go to Psalms. If you can turn it with me, I want to go to chapter 119. You've probably all read this. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, but is it ever powerful? Psalms 119. I should have left my Bible turned there. And I like it how it's broken down in the Hebrew, with the Hebrew letters in the first covenant. And each group, we're going to start off and read something out of the letter Aleph. It's got eight verses. Then the next one, Bet. It has eight verses, and the Gimel has eight verses, so they all have eight verses. So I'm just going to pick and look at some of the things that's referred to us in this about the Word of God, how important it is for us. Verse 1 of Psalm 119, blessed are the undefiled in the way
who walk in the law. This is the law is what? The Torah or the word of the Lord. Don't you love that? I love it. Now let me find his another one. Yeah, that's okay. Now we're going to go to the letter Bet. Verse 9. Withal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to what? To thy word. We want to make sure it's the word that he wants us to know. Hallelujah. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We used to preach this with the kids when we were teaching children's church years ago. Mm. Thy word have I hid in my heart, to have it in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. It'll quicken you to that thing that God wants you to know. Verse 16 here. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget what? Thy word. Word. Who's the word? Yeshua is the word. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word was God. How that's Yeshua. Now I'm going to go to the Gimel. Verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word again. Well, if you don't know the word, how can you keep it, right?
That's right.
In that one. Now, here's the next, the Dalet now. In verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to what? Thy word again. Thy word. Verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto what? Thy word. It's God's word. Verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. And then verse 30 after it. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. For what is truth? The word of God, the true word of God. This is the truth. Yeshua is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life, isn't he? All right. Now the next letter is the word hey. Verse 34. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, or thy word. Yea, I shall observe it with my what? My whole heart. That's what God wants. Verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Next letter is the Vav. Verse 43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. God's not going to take it out. You take it out of there. He wants you to put it in you. Verse 42, the verse before this. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word again. Isn't that amazing? Now I'm going to go to the next letter. Verse 49. Remember the word, here we go, unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Glory be to God. Verse 54. The statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. So the statutes, what? That's the word of God. Go to the next Hebrew letter. Verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy commandments. They're God's commandments. See, they're not a multiple choice or anything. They're his commandments. It's not a suggestion. He's asking us to do that if we're going to walk with him and have a holy life. Amen? Now the next Hebrew letter, verse 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. The next Hebrew letter, verse 74. That they fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in what? In thy word. I need to go back and read 73 with that. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Verse 76. Let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word again, unto thy servant. Incredible. Just wonderful. Next Hebrew letter. Verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope, listen to this, but I hope in thy word. Verse 82. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? See, his word will never fail. And it will comfort us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It will. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Did you hear that?
What did Jesus say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one single word that's ever been spoken by God will ever pass away. Aren't you glad? That's how sure we have. Okay, the next Hebrew letter, verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. The law is what? The Torah, the Word of God. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy what? Precepts from his word. Isn't that incredible? 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Huh? They're sweet like honey. Huh? Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Here's the noon. Verse 105. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We used to teach this all the time with the kids. Think about it. If you were on a dark road at night with lots of trees and maybe things falling out in the road from a storm, and you were trying to walk in the dark, you would stumble and you'd hurt yourself. He says, right, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. So you got a lamp shining at your feet where you're going to step, and a light into my path. So you got the word is showing you, keeping a light on your feet where you're walking, and the light's shining down your path so you won't stumble and fall anywhere. Isn't that amazing? Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto my path. That's an incredible word for us today. 107. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto what? Thy word. I love it. The next Hebrew letter, verse 113. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. Mm-hmm. The law, the Torah, God's word.
Amen.
114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Remember, hope is always in the future. I hope in thy word. Glory be to God. I love it. Verse 116. Hold me up according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope, which always comes in the future. All right. Next letter. Verse 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Glory be to God. Verse 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy what? My statutes. This is the Torah, the word of God. The word. 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. These are the testimonies of the witness of the Torah. And all. That was the teaching that he gave. Remember, the Torah was not given for salvation. It was given to people that know the Lord to show them how to walk a holy and righteous life. That's what it's all about. Amen. Verse 126. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law or thy Torah, thy word. They have made void. We have so much of this in this country today that they made the word of God void, or they're attempting to do that, but it'll never happen. They cannot do that. God will not allow it. The word of God will never return void in any way, shape, or form. Don't you love that? Now, the next letter, verse 130. The entrance of thy words, here we go, giveth light. We just read that, didn't we? A light unto our path and all. It giveth understanding unto what? The simple, the unlearned person. Hallelujah. Verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Don't you love that one? Hallelujah. I like it. Verse 139 in Psalms 119, my zeal hath consumed me because my enemies have forgotten thy words. Hear this? If they knew their words, they wouldn't have come against him, if they didn't know his words. Verse 140, thy word is very pure. Listen to this. It's pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. If it's pure, we need to love it, don't we?
Amen.
We should love it. It's pure. It's holy. Hallelujah. And then we have 142. Thy righteousness. See, we have no righteousness of our own. It's his that he imputes to us. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law or thy Torah or the truth of the word is what? The truth. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Nothing but the truth. I always think, I said this at church many times, think about when Yeshua was standing before Pilate, and he was talking about truth, and Pilate says, well, what is truth?
What is truth?
He didn't realize it, but truth was standing right there in front of him if he'd only listened to him, amen? All right, I'm going down here to verse 148. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in what? Thy word. I like that. Mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Mm. Verse 151, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth, the truth of his word. Hallelujah.
How sweet is his word.
That's right. 154, plead my cause and deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. Here we go. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. 160, thy word, here we go, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. I'm going to read that again. Thy word, God's word, is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. So that's why it's so important that we read this holy word. 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, or the Torah, his word, mm-hmm. and nothing shall what offend them. I love that. Okay, we got a few more to go here. 169, let my cry come near before thee. O Lord, give me understanding according to thy word. We want understanding according to the word of God, and with, as it moves with the Holy Ghost, we'll have understanding to do the right things and know when to do things and when not to do that, what's right and what's wrong. Verse 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. He's promised to deliver us, hasn't he? 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Boy, I like that verse. Hallelujah. So that's all in Psalm 119. I like the end of that. Let's read this again. 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts to do it according to his word. See, I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my what? My delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. And the very last verse of Psalm 119, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget what? Thy commandments. It's a wonderful to hold that. Amen? I like it. And I'm going to read, I want to read Psalm 121 with you. We skip 120, we'll read 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Aren't you glad?
Glory.
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Hear that? God never slumbers or sleeps. Verse 4, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Just what I said. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand, or thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Olam, forever. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord. Shandaraboko son, daraboko son, daraba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, for your holy word.
Taste and see. The Lord is good.
How good he is. And so the word is so important that we consume this and we put it in our heart. And then we'll know what to do in every circumstance. And so I think about when Paul wrote over there in Corinthians about we have the mind of Christ. Well, you know, that mind of Christ just doesn't fall out of the air into us. We accept Jesus and we understand a lot at that time and all. But the thing is, to get the mind of Christ, we have to study the Bible. See what Jesus had to say. Read the Gospels and see everything in red, what he said. And that's how we're going to get the mind of Christ. And we'll know how to respond and act and do things according to the Word of God. Not what we think or some man might think. You know, we want that. I think about Tommy Tenney, those books he wrote several years ago. You don't hear much about him anymore. He said he wanted to be a God chaser, not a man chaser. He said, I want to be a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. That's what we have to be. We have to do what God has to say. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And sometimes people tell me, and they say, well, Pastor Gene, we're living in the year 2017 or 2016, whatever time of the year or in history it was. Well, remember, the word never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and
forever. Same thing, same thing, same thing. And I'm thinking about this. I'm going to take you over to Romans chapter 12 here. Running out of time, but got a few more minutes. I want to go to Romans chapter 12 with you for a moment here. Hallelujah. And we have some wonderful things. And so everything in the first covenant that we have, we need to apply those things to our heart as well. Because God put it there for us to read the entire Word of God. You know, I think about all the things from the time that Malachi wrote his epistle or letter in the first covenant. It was like 400 years before a prophet came, and that was John the Baptist. And there was a lot of years, and a lot of men were doing what they thought was right, not necessarily what God wanted them to do. And so we have to keep in mind, we want the Word of God and nothing else. Hallelujah. I don't want nothing to be watered down. I only want that. So I'm going to go to chapter 12 of Romans, and if you've been with the Lord very long, you should know this in your heart, but we're going to read it right out of the Bible so that you can see what he's trying to tell us. 12:1 in Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost, by the mercies of God, hear this, his mercy is new every morning. That you all present your bodies a living sacrifice. So we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. The animals in the first covenant, they tied them on the horns of the altar. They couldn't get off. But he's asking us to freely present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And then he says what? Holy. That means set apart. Acceptable unto God because the way you're walking with the Lord and doing things he's told you to do and honoring his word. Which is your what? Reasonable service. And then verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. And there's been a lot of things down through age. My mom used to tell me all the time, well, son, I lived during this time and nothing's changed. Well, but the Word of God never changes. It's apropos for any age, any season that we're in. And be not conformed, what? To this world. I mean, to the world system. We're in this world, but we're not part of it. We want to come out from among them. But be, here's your ye again, but be you all, what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how do we do that? By learning, studying and reading God's holy word, and we put it in our heart. The word will never pass away. The truth is always there. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye all, again, ye all, may prove, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Or for what? For our personal lives. I want to put this in my life. Amen. I love this. And verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me, Paul said, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. He has to humble himself. Walk with God, and you'll be humbled if you walk with God. But to think soberly. That doesn't mean not being drunk. It just means to have a sober thought about things, about the Word of God, to think the way God wants you to think. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
So we have these wonderful promises about the Word of God. And so when we fail to do what God says, or we're ruined or destroyed even for lack of knowledge because we haven't put this word in, we make decisions many times, and then we find out later, wow, the word said not to do that, I did it. How many couples are there today that and they're married. One couple was born again, the other one wasn't. But see, the Bible says don't do that. Marry someone that's in the Lord. And when people do the opposite of what God says, what happens? They have a struggle in their lives. Now, some might make it through, but the majority of them will wind up having problems, and they'll probably wind up getting a divorce because they're not equally yoked any longer. They don't agree with things. They don't agree. Hallelujah. So we know that God wants us to know the truth. The truth will make us free. So, hallelujah. We talked to somebody here a few weeks ago, and they got a divorce, and their husband divorced the wife because she knew God and wanted to walk with God, and he didn't. So he left her, okay? Well, is that of God? No. But the mistake was they got married in the first place. So God has commandments, and we have to honor that. Amen? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. I just praise God for his holy word. So if you've been in some of these things and you've made mistakes, well, you know, you can sit down right now with the Lord and just say, Lord, I realize I've made a mistake. I'm asking you to forgive me. Would you please forgive me? And I'm going to turn from this, and I'm going to go your way, not my way. And the Bible says what? He's faithful and just. He's justified at that time because you acknowledge it to him to forgive you that particular sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't that incredible? I love it. It's so good.
He's faithful and true.
He's faithful and true in everything that we do with him. And I'm just thinking about that. I'm going to go over to 1 John with you for a moment. We're just about out of time here. But the Word of God is the most important thing that we can put in our heart. Not books from somebody else, not from magazines, not from something we heard or anything. It's the Word of God that we read it for ourselves. And what do? We put it in our heart. And that's what changes us as we go. Now there's some interesting verses in here. I'm in chapter 1, verse 7 here. It says, let me start in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, who's this? With Yeshua and the Father, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And that's a fact, isn't it? If we know what it says and we don't do it, then we're walking in darkness. We walked away from him. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, what's the light? Yeshua is the light in his word. As he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't that wonderful? So if we have something we've done in the past and we don't even realize it, well, the blood's going to cover that. But as soon as we realize that we made a mistake, well, then we have to do something about it. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, because we're all sinners saved by grace. We've all sinned and failed, haven't we? We've all missed the mark, the glory of God. We've missed that. We've all sinned in different ways by missing the mark. Now, verse 9 says this. Here he goes and he says, if we confess, now, we acknowledge our sins, who? To the Father and with Yeshua. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Hear that? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Wow.
Awesome.
And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And we know he's not a liar. And his word, what? I'm going to read it again. And his word, I'll say it again. And his word is not in us.
Praise
God.
So
we're running out of time.
His word in us.
That's right. We want his word in us. That's what's going to change us, going to mature us, make us grow up, is the word, the word, the word, the word.
Well, we'd like to give the phone number one more time so that you can possibly call, and if you want to call and talk to either one of us, or you can call and we'd love to put you on the board to sign up to read for 15 minutes at the Bible Reading Marathon starting on the 11th, November the 11th. That's Veterans Day.
Yes.
Go until the morning of the 15th. So night and day, 24/7, round the clock, we need lots and lots of readers. Can you give God 15 minutes?
That's right.
To read. And please pray. Please pray for us. Please pray for those who are coming to read. Please pray for our safety as well. Well, the phone number here at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So come and read and be blessed. You'll be blessed for doing it. It'll please God. So we're running out of time here. So we tell you we're on this program every week because we want to raise the standard. We love people and we want to see them grow and mature. So we tell you every week as we close, what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives. And remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of Prophecy.